Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning, gathered in the presence of God. And there were saints that loved the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to Him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see us this morning, Father. Lord, you know our hearts, Lord. And Father, you know our needs. And Lord, we still have needs, Lord. Lord, but you've promised to meet every need that your people has. I pray for your guidance through the scripture this morning, dear Lord. Help us, dear God, to take inventory of ourselves. And Lord, to Father, line up with that word. Lord, we want the word living in us that we'll be ready to go when the time comes to leave this earth. Lord, we're looking forward to that time, Lord. Lord, with the anxiousness and anticipation, Lord, like if we were going on a natural trip to somewhere that was exciting, Lord, this is exciting. Lord, we're going somewhere, dear God, that's beyond this earth or anything this world could ever offer. Lord, we ask God that you, Father, would just help us, Lord. Father, have mercy on us, Lord. For Lord God, we're just human. Lord, we have confidence in you, Lord. Father, that you will make us ready because you said you'd present to yourself a spotless church, Lord God. Lord, and we'll look to you now and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you could. Sometimes these machines just don't want to do what they're supposed to do. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And I want to begin reading at verse 20. And it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we journeying through this life, and we face different hardships and heartaches at times, but as well we face some times of good times, and times where we can see the blessings of God on our lives. And he knows our weaknesses, but he also knows just how to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us from the wrong matters. He does it in such a fatherly way. He doesn't come to beat us down. God doesn't come to bring condemnation on us. God will bring us to conviction, which is the feeling in your heart where you know that you need to get right or make something right or make a change. And it's Satan that brings condemnation. It's Satan that tries to condemn us. But our heart is like an internal judge, or should be. and if our heart is clear before God, then we shouldn't feel any condemnation. We should be able to come to God and ask Him for whatever it is our need is, or ask Him for someone else's need, and have the confidence that He's going to meet that, what we ask. Because we've met all His requirements. If we've given our life to Jesus, if we've kept the requirements of the Scriptures, we've done all that He has asked of us to do, then because of that, given our lives to Him, surrendered our will to Him, then we should have a clear heart between us and God. Many times when I have prayed for different ones that were dying, or maybe we thought they might be perhaps dying, one of the things that I always ask is, God, if it's their time to go, if there's nothing at all between you and them, preventing them from crossing over, then God, let them cross on over in peace. But if there's anything that's a hindrance, then Lord, give them the opportunity to make that right and make ready so they can go to be with you. And so if our heart doesn't condemn us, then we know we're going to have what we ask for. For He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall be given you. It's His promise. That's why we can have the confidence to know that He'll answer us. It's because it's His promise. He will keep His word. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what he throws at us. He cannot defeat the promises of God. He cannot stop God from bringing His word to pass. And His word says that if you have faith, to ask and you'll receive. So we can have that confidence if our heart's clear. I'm reminded of the time that, Brother Branham, there was a young child that was ill, and they called for Brother Branham to come pray for. And remember, he had, right before that, had the dealings with the tax man, and he told me to tell him I'm not here. And so he went on like as if everything was all right, but when it come time to pray for that child, why, he couldn't do it. The Spirit of God stopped him. Why? Because there was something there not clear. And when it was brought to his attention, then his heart condemned him over it. See? Because when we accept Christ as our Savior, and we've been sanctified, and we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, then He comes into our heart, and that becomes His judgment seat. And He sets on our heart. Then Brother Branham's heart condemned him. Well, he made it right, and then prayed for the child, and the child was healed. So if our heart condemns us, what are we to do? We make right whatever it is that's condemning us. We get that cleared up between us and God. Then we can have the confidence. But you know, there's times that we go through where there's nothing in our heart that's wrong, and yet we have a need from God, and it seems like the need's not being met. And then we get discouraged, or something comes our way. And a lot of more, I have found more people than not, when something happens to them, they always want to ask God, God, what is it? What did I do? Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe you didn't do anything. Sometimes there's things that happen to us in this life. But we know God allows things. And if He allows it, then He's got a purpose. And if you don't know what that purpose is, then just stand still. He'll reveal it. He will make it known over time. I think about the woman who, her and her child, they had just enough meal to make one cake, and they were going to eat it, and they were going to die. And, you know, she believed in Jehovah. She was a believer. And the prophet came to her. And you notice God sometimes will let you come through times to test you just to see what you'll do. That's why sometimes that you think, well, I've met every requirement, but he's not answering my prayer. It may be God testing you to see what your reaction's going to be. And God was testing her. And the prophet asked her for a drink. She went to go get it. And he said, while you're going to give me something to drink, make me a little cake. And she stopped and she said, I only have enough meal to make one cake. My son and I were going to eat it and then we were going to die. What a bleak future. We got one cake to share and then we're going to die. Very bleak. But she had nothing in sight. Even though she had met all of God's requirements, it seemed like God was being silent. And so the prophet says, make me a cake first. And God did that to see what her reaction was going to be. You see, when God says he'll take care of us, that's his promise, then he will take care of us. If we've got a situation that's going on in our lives, God will take care of it if we'll just wait patiently and let him do it. Many times we get in the way because we're trying to fix it ourselves. But if we'll just wait on God and believe, have faith, and then we know God's going to do something. And God wanted to see her reaction. And we know by the Bible her reaction was, she went and made him a cake first. Made the last cake she had. But you notice what the prophet said. He didn't say, give me that last cake you have. He said, make me one first. You can make you one afterwards. And so he said, for her obeying, that the cruse of oil would not run dry and the meal barrel would not run empty. And she may have only had just a few grains of meal each time to make a cake. But every time she went, she could make a cake. I don't know how God did it. I don't know if he filled up the barrel in the cruse or whatever. All I know is there was always some there to make another cake. God provided for her through that famine. But he let her come down to one last cake before he did anything. And that's what God does to us sometimes. He'll allow us to come down to the one last thing we've got before he does anything. And he's doing it to test you to see if you're still trusting in him. There's many people who will trust in him as long as everything's going all right. But when things don't seem to be going right, well, then they begin to question God. God, why is this happening? Why am I in this situation? Don't you love me, God? Sure, he loves you. God knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you feel. That's why I have no problem with getting down and telling the Lord, instead of crying on the phone to somebody else, I get down before the Lord, tell him how I'm feeling. Lord, this is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling so down right now, I just don't even know what to do. And you know what? The Lord will encourage you. because you got the confidence that you're not talking to some dead statue standing somewhere, but you got the confidence you're talking to a God that is alive. So if you've met every requirement and you got the assurance in your heart that God will do it, then just hang on. Just hang on. Stay right there. Wait. God will bring you through. God never fails. He'll always take care of his own. You know, one time David wondered, why do the wicked prosper? But God told him, said, consider their end. Sometimes we look around and see people that's not obeying God and seems like ain't nothing going wrong for them. That's a bad sign. People's living like the world, living like the devil, and they know better than that stuff. And God ain't doing anything to correct them or bring conviction to their heart. That's a bad sign. Get to that in a moment. It's something to know if our heart doesn't condemn us, to know God hears us. And you know, here's the thing. We know whether our heart condemns us or not. It's not a mystery. It's not something we've got to look around for and see. We know what's right and what's wrong. But we allow ourselves sometimes to become calloused over. Push on ahead. But I'll tell you something. If you belong to God, he ain't going to let you do it. He will bring correction to you sooner or later if you belong to him. And if you belong to him, you'll take the correction. Brother Branham says, he was talking about people come up in the prayer line. He said, if your heart condemns you, don't even get in the prayer line. He said, if your heart condemns you, ain't no need of you asking God for anything. Because if your heart condemns you, you can't have faith. But if your heart doesn't condemn you, then there's something faith can root in. It stands on the solid word. It can't stand on the shifting sands of man's theology. Faith has to stand on the word. And if our heart condemns us, well, then we can't have that faith. But if our heart condemns us not, then we've got faith to stand on. God keeps every promise. The Bible teaches us, we know it teaches us something we shouldn't be doing, and we're doing it anyway. Then we can't have faith. But I got to thinking on this scripture when it came to me. And what it first inspired to me was this. It said, if our heart condemns us not. And I got to thinking on that. And I really got to thinking on it in a different way than what I've just presented to you. It struck something else to me. What if we're doing wrong and our heart's not condemning us? What if our heart should be condemning us and it's not? Then something's wrong. Something's wrong with our heart. Something's happened. Brother Branham said, some people say it don't condemn me to wear short hair. It don't condemn me to wear a manicure or makeups or whatever it is. It don't condemn me to go to dances. It don't condemn me to tell little white lie. It don't condemn me to play bridge in my bridge party. You know why? You ain't got nothing to condemn. That don't hurt my conscience. He said, you got no more conscience than a snake's got hips. They ain't got no conscience. There ain't nothing there to hurt them. They're of the world. We don't want that. But I look at people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Ghost, which we're sealed by, which means we can grieve him. We can grieve him by the things we do or the things we allow or the things we say. Even after we're sealed, we can grieve him. That doesn't mean we're lost. Brother Branham said, it just means you got out of fellowship. And if you're in a condition where you look right now and you see there's things going on and you think, man, my heart should be condemning me these things, and it's not, then realize something. It's not that you're lost. It's that you've got out of fellowship. You just need to get back in fellowship with God. Say, how do I do that? Prayer. Wow, isn't that something that word's the answer to a lot of things? Children of disobedience. Brother Ram says this in God of this Evil Age. He said, children of disobedience. The children of disobedience has nothing in common with us. One is of the day of light, and the other the night and darkness. The evil age, this evil age of darkness, nightclubs, dances, yet belong to church. It's okay with their God. If they don't have any condemnation about it, nothing bothers them. Why? It don't condemn me, don't hurt my conscience. Said, well, then you got no more conscience than a snake's got hips. You don't know what a conscience is. People's consciences have been seared so hard till they don't even know what it is. Now, we can look out and we can see people that do things and it looks like they go on, their conscience doesn't condemn them. They feel all right, and you look at it and you think, well, that would bother me. Don't look at others. Don't worry about what they're doing. Maybe they don't know no more about God than a Hottentot knows about an Egyptian knight, as Brother Branham said. There's some people, Jesus said about the Pharisees, said, you blind gods, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. There's some people that way. But if we come to Jesus with our situation, in other words, if we find ourselves this morning in a condition where we look and we see, oh, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and it seems like things have been going along real smooth. Well, then it's being identified this morning, then just come to Jesus with your situation. I think about the Pharisees that brought the priest that brought that woman before Jesus and said, Master, she's been caught in the very act of adultery. Said, the law says to stone her. What do you say? Of course, we know they were tempting Jesus. They were testing him. Let's put him to a test, see what he's going to say. Because if he said stone her, then they would stone her right there before him. But yet the law also said, let the man be brought also. Let them both be stoned. But Jesus, he come to bring grace. And if Jesus said, no, don't stone her, let her go, then they'd be condemning Jesus. I thought you said you were this or that. and yet you won't obey the law. See, they were testing him. See what he's going to do. They were trying to ensnare him. Jesus wasn't nobody's fool. He knew what they were trying to do. So the Bible says he knelt down and he wrote in the sand. Nobody knows what he wrote. I've heard preachers speculate. But all I know is this, whatever he wrote had an effect. And then he said, and you know, here's the thing. They brought stones along with them. And Jesus said, let he that's without sin cast the first stone. You know what happened? Their hearts began to condemn them because they know the things that they had been doing that weren't right. Not a one of them could have stood up and said, oh, I'm perfectly, everything's clear between me and Jehovah. They evidently couldn't because Jesus looked up and they were all gone. And he says to the woman, woman, where are thine accusers? Says, hath no man condemned thee? She said, Lord, I have no accusers. There's nobody left here. And Jesus said, those sweet, sweet words. Neither do I condemn you. Friends, she had done something that by the law she should have been stoned. But grace stepped up and said, neither do I condemn thee. We've done things wrong. But God, this morning, we can stand before him and if we bring our situation to him, bring our hearts before him, he'll say, neither do I condemn you. But then he finished with, go and sin no more. Don't go do that no more. I don't condemn you for it. Don't go do it no more. Another thing came to my mind when I was studying on this. And that is, we know if our heart doesn't condemn us and things is right between us and God, we know that. We have knowledge of that. We know whether, Brother Branham said, we know whether our heart condemns us or not. Sometimes other people condemn you because they think of what they think. Well, I don't think you should be doing that. And so they condemn you. Paul said, why should I be condemned of another man's conscience? There's people sometimes, Brother Branham said this, he said, there's people sometimes will judge you by the clothes you wear. You know, we don't really have a dress policy here in this church. Just, you know, dress becoming and modest and holy. But we don't have every man's got to wear a suit and tie. But I can tell you this, I come from up north, and we dress a lot different down here than they do up north. That doesn't mean we're wrong. It gets a lot hotter down here. In the summertime, I don't always wear a jacket. And I wear short sleeves, shirts, because it gets hot down here. People that, where it doesn't get quite as hot, they might look and think, well, man, y'all are really got a relaxed dress code. We live in a different area. And I have learned one thing in the 22 years that I've lived here. Southern people are different than Northern people. One ain't better than the other, but they're just different. I went to a funeral here some years ago. I don't even remember how long ago it was. And a man's wife had died. He was an older man. And the people, some of the people that knowed him, said, wonder what he would wear to his funeral, because all they had ever saw him in was a pair of bibbed overalls. An old pair of bibbed overalls, all he ever wore. And every one of them, the pair that he had, looked worn. And we got to the funeral, and you know what he had on? He had on a brand new pair of bibbed overalls and dress shoes. Now, there might be people from other places, other thinkings, that would condemn that man. Well, my goodness, he must not think that much of his wife to come dressed that way. He was dressed in his best. Brother Bram says, sometimes people will judge you by the clothes you wear. They'll judge you. You know, people sometimes will judge you by their own thinking. Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles were a people, weren't natural children of Abraham. So they weren't circumcised. Well, then some down in Jerusalem got to think, well, if they're going to come and serve Jesus, they've got to get circumcised. And Paul argued with them about this. But see, they wanted to condemn these other ones because they said, well, they should do this or they should do that. And Paul said, you can't bring them under the law that way. They've been circumcised of heart. Notice when Stephen, before, when they were going to stone Stephen, Stephen didn't call out to them saying, you uncircumcised people, you. No, he said, you uncircumcised of heart. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. Stiff neck means stubborn. Won't listen. When they came to know some of the Greek people, why the Greeks would go down to the marketplace and there would be beef, meat for sale. They'd buy the meat, take it home and cook it up and eat it. Well, that meat came from an animal that had been sacrificed to some heathen god. And the Jews said, you shouldn't be eating that meat. It's been sacrificed to a heathen god. And Paul said, if they eat the meat, they're not eating it as in it being a sacrifice. They're not condemned by eating it because it's just meat. But then Paul says, if it's going to bother your conscience, Then I won't eat no meat. Which means Paul had already eaten some of the meat. Which means that Paul didn't feel condemned about it. But he said, you got a weak, and Paul actually puts it this way, you got a weaker conscience. That would bother them. But just because something bothers you, here's what I'm going to say, don't judge somebody else. If it bothers you, then fine, don't do it. I know there's folks that won't go certain places to eat. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But now, don't condemn the German believers because they go into McDonald's and get a big, they call it a Big Mac or a quarter pounder, they call it a Royale burger. Because they sell beer in McDonald's in Germany. There ain't much any place you can go into in Germany that doesn't sell beer. But now the people that's going in there and buying a Big Mac, the believers, they're not going in there and buying beer. They're going there and buying a Big Mac and fries, pommes frites. And they're not condemned by it. Why? It's a different culture over there. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You know, remember the Pharisee that came and the publican came and they were both at the altar. And the Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like this publican. But the publican smote his heart and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus said, who's more righteous? We're not to look and we're not to judge others by our own conscience. The word's what brings judgment. Now, something's against the word. Now, there was a church that I know of some years ago. They took the scripture of it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. And they took and put their interpretation on it. And they were putting it out, it's wrong for a woman to wear a jean skirt. Especially if that jean skirt buttons in the front. And they preached this to their church. And the thing about it is, it was all based on their interpretation or opinion. And that individual that preached that and presented that to his church isn't even following the message today. That's not in the Bible. If that's your opinion, you're welcome to it. I've got opinions. But I don't preach my opinions. When my kids were growing up, the four, Nate and Liddy and all the kids actually, why, they couldn't come to church with a t-shirt that had writing and printing on it. That wasn't going to go. I just my wife and I, we just didn't believe that was respectful. But I don't have no scripture on that. So I'm not going to condemn somebody if I see them dressed that way. That's between them and God. I've got other opinions, but I don't preach those opinions to make them a law before you. Because there's no scripture for it. It's just my opinion. And nobody should be judged according to my opinions. And you've got opinions. And nobody should be judged according to your opinion. You're welcome to your opinion. Brother Branham talked about women wearing high heels. Well, people got their opinion about what is a high heel. Well, that's your opinion. I've known people that their opinion about it was a woman should just wear flats. No heel whatsoever at all. But I can tell you that's not what Brother Branham meant. Because when I look at that movie that they filmed, and Brother Branham sitting down in his living room with these two brothers, and Sister Meaty comes in carrying a tray to bring some refreshments into them, coffee or whatever it is. And I see she wasn't wearing flats. So by that, I know that's not what Brother Branham meant. I know those people got opinions about how a woman should wear their hair or what she should or shouldn't do with her hair. That's your opinion. You're welcome to your opinion. And you're welcome to wear your hair according to your opinion or your wife or whatever. But don't judge somebody else. Boy, this text has went a lot of places, hasn't it? Yeah, I had to sit back down and go back through it and rearrange it because it seemed like it was going off this way and that way and this way and that way. And I thought, well, we got to have it in some kind of direction. So let's divide it up into three parts. So if our heart condemns us not, then we know we can have what we ask for. We know whether our heart should or should not be condemning us. And if it's not and it should be, then we know we need to get down before the Lord. I'm sure a service like this, if we had something going on in the heart, you know, I believe after a service like this, if we was doing something wrong, we'd start to feel condemned about it. So as I started out by saying when I took this text, he knows how to encourage us in the things that's right and discourage us in the things that are wrong. And he does it like a father would his child. God doesn't lose his temper with us. So we lost his temper with Israel. Friends, and people he was losing his temper with, they all died and ended up dying in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe the promises of God. But there were some of them that did believe and they crossed on over. God's not going around getting angry at you. He'll bring correction to you. He'll give you guidance. Brother Branham said, like a child learning how to walk. He said, if he falls down, his daddy don't spank him for it. He just puts him back up on his feet and says, walk this way. And that's the way God does us. Now, There might be some of y'all here think, well, I've been walking with the Lord for many years. I know how to walk now. Really? That means then you think you're perfect. Buddy, I still stumble. I still have to be picked up sometimes. And I'll tell you what, it gets tiring dealing with this old flesh, doesn't it? Boy, I'm looking forward to a day when our bodies be changed, we won't be dealing with this old flesh no more. Won't that be wonderful? And that's how the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years, because he ain't going to be able to mess with you no more. Hallelujah. He ain't going to be able to mess with your mind no more. I'll tell you what, he loves to play mind games, don't he? Try to get you all tore up. But God knows how to encourage you. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the things that, Lord, you laid on my heart, dear God, to draw from this scripture, dear God. Things to point us at, dear God. And Father, we sing that song to be more like you. And Lord, that's what we want. And Lord, I believe, dear God, that by reading your word and praying, Father, and coming and listening to the ministry, I believe, God, those things are helping us to become more like you. I pray your blessings upon the people today, dear God. I pray, dear God, your safekeeping upon them, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Lord, we're living in a very different time. Time, Lord, like none of us here have ever faced in our lives before. This pandemic we're dealing with, Lord, it's not that the nation has never dealt with a pandemic before, but Lord, we haven't. Lord, I've never had to pastor through one before. So Lord, I continue to ask for your guidance, Lord, Lord, for I feel, Lord, that the safety of the people, Lord, from coming to this church, the safety is upon me. And Lord, I pray you continue to guide me. Bless your people today, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.